Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Death Enraptured by Richard Amis, narrated by Cooper North. Chapter 1. A rogue necromancer killed my kissing time. Wanker. I broke away from death, tears still leaking down my cheeks as the man came running toward us. Death emitted a growl beside me. I aimed my gun at the rogue's head. Freeze! The man froze, pointing a gun of his own right back at me.
Oh, this is no fun. Let's reset, turn, and draw. See who gets who first.
He giggled manically, waving the gun around. Having a license to kill rogues and a clean shot, I put a bullet between his eyes. His body hit the ground with a sickening thud, his ghost climbing out of the corpse. The translucent-ish man looked down at his dead self, no hint of a giggle now.
That's not fair.
Rogues were broken necromancers. Because of death not actually performing his duties for the past 20 years, necrotic magic kept changing, increasing in power. The minds and bodies of a necro aren't really built for it, so we have to take necrotic neurological assistance formula, commonly known as necro juice, a concoction of liquidized chaga mushrooms and powdered hematite, a substance to be injected directly into a vein every 72 hours, sometimes more frequently than that, to keep a necromancer nice and stable. But for some, necro juice wasn't enough. The necrotic magic was just too much. When the nasty liquid mushrooms failed to protect a necro, it resulted in a complete breakdown of the mind, with often violent and difficult consequences.
Not fucking fair!
The rogue ghost screamed. Green energy lit up my fingertips. I grabbed him with the binding thread of my power. Three green rings pulsed up and down his ghostly body, his head tilted back, commanded to keep his mouth shut. I need a second necro to release him, I said to Death, my hands shaking a tad.
Call someone, he said.
He could easily send the ghost to sanctuary, but that would only result in questions and lies, more of me spinning bullshit to my teammates. I was already keeping Death a secret from everyone. I pulled out my oval-shaped e-scroll, still shaking. So much to deal with. The whole revelation of Death and me, and the appearance of my two new threads of power, bringing my 5 skills up to 7. The power to summon up a graveyard, and the power of resurgence. Those 2 threads sat within me as strange aliens, making my head spin. I had to take my necro juice once a day now, on my boss Emma's orders. The High Necromancer of Westminster was now filling the empty role here in Oakthorn, seeing as Nicholas West was a lich and a complete piece of shit.
It's okay, Death whispered to me, his voice a soothing balm that didn't quite reach my soul.
I dialed a necro on call. Peter picked up on the second ring.
Is everything okay?
I need some help with ascending. I explained the details.
Bloody hell. We're heading over right now. See you soon.
Thanks.
All good? Death asked as I hung up.
I pocketed my e-scroll.
Yep, I... What are you doing now?
My heart ached simply looking at him. Tears wanted to break free again.
I'll wait here, he replied.
What? Why?
Because we're not done.
But...
But what?
What if someone sees you? Up went an eyebrow.
They can't, remember?
He could do that, keep himself hidden. This rogue didn't know he was here, which also meant it sounded like I was talking to myself. Great. Death smiled, reaching for me, then pulled his hand back. Your touch. How I want your touch every second of the day. I released an almighty sigh, closing my eyes against the night's bitter wind, drifting into memories of cities burning, me dying again and again, the rest of the world paying the price of our love.
Damn! Just damn! What was I supposed to do with it? Death? Me? Love? Love through the ages.
No! A man cried. Not my bro!
My eyes shot open, my gun ready for action at the sound. Another rogue charged from the shadows, brandishing a gun. He fired the weapon several times into the air, then aimed it at me. I hit the ground, bullets striking the concrete inches from my head. Shit! I jumped to my feet.
Are you shot? My lover asked.
No, I'm... Death pulled his scythe from nowhere, the curved blade white with a hint of green, its handle comprised of what looked like white woven leather. His eyes were twin fires of gold as he darted forward, swinging the scythe with some seriously sexy grace. Fine, I muttered. The scythe took the rogue's head off, his body engulfed by an inferno of green and white magic. Sparks, like a dozen Catherine wheels going off at once, spat into the air. Then the body was gone, no ghost left behind. My heart leaped into my mouth. What? Death ran at me so fast I barely had time to blink or breathe. A finger pressed to my lips, his face moving closer to mine.
Don't say a word, Marcel. Our ghostly friend over there saw and heard nothing.
I glanced at the rogue locked in the green rings, my power still holding, despite the drama.
He's at Sanctuary, Death added.
Oh, good. A nice, unexplained surprise for them. We necros were supposed to do that, not him.
And the body? I whispered.
Gone.
A ghost mysteriously turning up at Sanctuary with no body, and I had to act as shocked as everyone else. Great. In all our years together, I'd never seen him use his scythe or move a ghost on. When he used to give the dead the afterlife, even when he was with me, he was everywhere else, across the world, doing his job, kissing me at the same time. I never really understood that, and I guess I wasn't really meant to do anything but accept the global presence of his power. The rogue trapped in the rings would have heard the gunshot, the call from his bro, be that an actual brother or a friend. Being bound didn't muffle his hearing.
Everything will be okay,
Death said, his breath wafting over my lips, his sandalwood scent arousing every nerve ending. Kiss me. I shook my rising horniness off, pushing everything down as deep as it would go. I was a professional necromancer with a rogue ghost bound and in need of sending. No room for anything else right now. A car roared nearby. Moments later, it hurtled up the one-way road leading out of the car park of my building. The car came to a stop, Peter and Trish jumping out. Necros had to work in pairs when on duty, a rule to be obeyed at all times. Trish came to join me, Death backing off to watch from a distance.
Okay,
she asked, offering me a friendly smile. When I first met my teammates, they never offered me anything but a negative attitude. But times had changed, and now Trish's light brown complexion shone with a warmth I needed to see. I nodded.
I'm okay.
These rogues are such a headache, she complained. Ready?
Together, we said the words to send the ghost on.
This spirit we hold must be released, we chanted together. Send him to Oakthorn Sanctuary.
The rogue ghost vanished.
All good?
Peter asked, patting me on the back.
I'm fine, I replied.
Thanks. His fair face turned an angry red.
Getting dangerous with these poxy rogues. What the friggin' hell is wrong with this town?
It's crazy, I replied, my mouth becoming sandpaper.
Want us to take you somewhere?
Peter asked.
I'll be fine inside, I replied. I should go to bed, really. Just came out for some fresh air.
It's even dangerous to do that nowadays, Trish said.
I'll say, Peter agreed.
Are you sure you're okay?
Trish checked with a bucket load of concern in her voice. I nodded, smiled.
All good. We'll see you inside, mate, Peter said.
Mate? We'd moved on from him despising me to mate? After Charlotte and Mario were killed by Nick, I thought the hate for me would intensify. I was wrong. These two now had my back. I felt so bad for Charlotte and Mario, caught in a nasty crossfire. They still patrolled, despite having zero necro power now, the only ghosts allowed on the streets at night under the curfew. At least for now. I led them into my building. Should I still knit them something like I'd planned to do in order to win them over? Maybe there wasn't any point now. Peter patted me on the back again outside my door.
Checking you're good one more time?
I'm fine, really. If anything else happens, call us straight away.
I will. Thank you.
They left, and my shoulders sagged with relief as I closed the door. God, I was tired, but hours away from sleep. A knock on my door. I spun, pressing my eye to the peephole. Oh, I opened the door for Death, though he didn't really need me to. So polite.
Did you forget me, Marcel?
Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
He strode past me, giving me another dose of his incredible scent. I closed the door, resting my forehead against it for a second. Damn.
Do you want some tea?
He asked. I pushed off the door, turning to face him. Tea won't cut it. Let's crack into the wine. His grin always melted my heart.
I'm glad you said it first.
I just need... My body was still covered in the traces of him from our sexy time before the ruby fell. It glinted against his chest, the red nestled against his bronze skin in that open V of his shirt, hanging on a gold chain.
What do you need?
He asked, giving his words naughty connotations without even trying. I rubbed at my throat, heat flushing in every corner of my body. I need a shower.
An Arctic one. I wait.
Come with me. Okay, I won't be long. We held a stare a little too long, my feet twitching to spring me forward into his arms. I went to the bathroom alone. Not wanting to freeze my bollocks off, I cleaned the night off me under a hot spray, drifting through memories of my past lives again, the terrible destruction, the anguish and the heartbreak. Once again, I broke down, my tears joining the hot water running down my face. Chapter 2. Done with sobbing in the shower, I hurried into my bedroom and threw on a pair of grey sweatpants and a baby blue jumper, knitted by me, faced myself in the mirror, combing back my damp silver hair. There, comfy mode activated. I felt anything but comfortable. With a deep breath, I joined Death in my little kitchen.
Thirsty? He asked.
Absolutely. Why did I sound so damn husky? He smiled, corkscrew ready. Thank God for red wine. Death popped the cork of a bottle of Merlot and got to pouring, watching me with his magnificent molten gold eyes. They were smouldering, disarming weapons against my reason. One look enough to get me naked.
Is that one of your creations? He asked. The jumper, I mean.
I tugged at it gently. Yes, you like it.
You're a talented knitter, Marcel.
Thanks.
Are you okay?
Nope. I'm fine.
You're shaking.
I was shaking. Still, doomed love revelations would do that. All of those past lives I'd lived, finding death in each one with a terrible ending. They stung like a scorpion with a serious anger problem. Our love was forbidden, and I never knew why. But I did know we had to break the cycle this time. Stop before we took the town of Oakthorn down because of our hearts. God, I loved him so much. More than George, my ex-fiancé who dumped me for another guy. He paled in comparison to death. Big time. Everyone did. I sighed, running my hand through my hair, watching the rich burgundy liquid fill the wine glasses. Even this is wrong, I said. Wine? He sniffed the top of the bottle. This is a good Merlot. I bought this. I couldn't help but laugh at him.
You're a plum.
He offered me a glass. If you say so, Marcel. His deep voice dripped with honey-dipped sex. I consider myself more of a cherry.
Cherry?
I prefer them to plums. I shook my head, taking the glass.
Thanks.
We shared a love of red wine, a new addition for this cycle, along with my penchant for knitting.
Cycle? For God's sake, my life wasn't a cycle, some trivial thing. It was full of things that made me Marcel, like my family back in London, my ambitions, everything. But now it felt so confusing.
I know what you meant, Death said. About the wrongness. Even me being here in your kitchen is dangerous. But the ruby makes it different this time. It really does.
How? Where did you get it from?
I eyed the red stone warily. My contact, a mage.
The one you mentioned before, the one helping us with the death sheen.
Yes. Within a cave system on the outskirts of town, the deepest one, known as Marigold, was a pond covered in death sheen, a deadly substance made by the Lich to protect his phylactery. One drop of the stuff would cook anyone alive, no antidote to stop it. We were all trying to get it cleared without much progress. Destroy the phylactery, destroy the Lich.
She made me the ruby based on what I wanted, Death continued. To keep you safe. It took her 6 months to make. Many roses consumed.
Roses?
Of all colours.
Mage magic used herbology and power drawn from what mages call the sphere, which was connected to the earth. Lots of potions and stuff made from flowers, herbs and plants, dirt, petals and those sorts of things. Not anything I really understood completely because I wasn't a mage. Only mages had the full scoop on how their magic worked. The same as us necros, really, though we shared a loose connection with mages in the liquid mushrooms, an energy linked to the earth.
You trust her? I responded.
I do.
That's good. I sipped my wine. Can I ask you something I always seem to ask you?
Ask me whatever you want.
Why does this happen?
Forbidden love, he answered, his finger tapping on the stem of his wine glass. One of his gold rings chimed on the glass like a bell.
Always the answer?
I shook my head.
But why? Why is it forbidden?
Because I am not supposed to love a mortal.
God, that pissed me off. And you accept that?
Does it seem like it?
Right. Him being off the job gave me that answer. It's so unfair. And there's more to this.
He didn't say anything.
Are you keeping something from me?
I wondered. He shook his head, then smiled.
At least not physically.
That set me off, a spark for my anger.
Don't do that. Don't play with me. Not this time.
Oh, I love to play with you, he purred.
His seductive tone failed to drag me under his spell.
For fuck's sake, stop! Just stop!
My voice boomed around the kitchen, louder than it had ever been before.
I can't! Damn, I need answers. I need to understand this.
Deep breaths. Calm it down. Death took a step forward as I performed my breathing exercises, a valuable tool in my complicated life.
I'm sorry, Marcel, he said. I'm sorry.
Easy. Easy.
Why can't you answer me?
My voice returned to a normal level.
That's the only answer I can give you.
Forbidden love?
Yes.
I gulped more wine, wiping my mouth with the back of my hand.
You're keeping something from me.
Yes, I am.
My forehead creased, chest tightening with surprise. You're admitting it?
Little details I can't talk freely about.
Tell me, I pressed.
I can't talk about it. Literally.
You're sworn to secrecy by some sort of magic.
He nodded, my bronze-skinned, timeless love staring at me.
My attention wandered to his dark hair adorned with copper lowlights, the stubble on his chiseled jaw, the perfection of his muscular body.
But it is forbidden, love.
Damn this. Damn all this caution and whining. I wanted our clothes off, to be naked with him again. He could take me here in the kitchen or any room he liked, just as long as he was kissing me, making my body sing from his touch.
Until the ruby falls off.
My eyes grew hot again. I drank more wine, forcing my sadness back down. Let's not do this, I said. Sorry, I yelled. I don't want to argue.
Glad to hear it. I'm sorry for pissing you off.
You should go. You should stay. Stay forever. We need to talk about Leon West, I said, steering the conversation to a hard left.
Okay. Shall we move somewhere more comfortable?
Good idea. I went to my bedroom to grab some knitting. God, did I need to put needle to wool?
Very comfortable.
Death stood in the doorway, gently swirling the wine in his glass. I rolled my eyes. We're not talking in here. I was just grabbing this. I held up my incomplete blanket of pastel blue and pink.
Living room, he suggested.
Absolutely. He walked away. Puffing my cheeks out, I followed. He was already sitting on the blue sofa, sipping his wine. I took a pew beside him, immediately getting to work on my blanket.
Leon paid me a visit before you got here, and the rogue shit kicked off, I said. Is that who I saw? He responded.
Yep, it was like he was there, but not really. You know, the same as the time he popped up before.
Death nodded. Two places at once.
He conjured a phone to his hand with his skill, started to type. What are you doing? I asked.
Messaging my contact, seeing if she can help. It has to be magically related. Now we know Leon is a mage.
Oh, what's her name?
All in good time, Marcel.
That's your answer.
For now it is.
He put a hand on my thigh.
I know you think I'm being difficult, but I'm not.
Okay.
Don't be mad with me.
I'm not.
I almost jabbed my palm with a knitting needle.
His phone vanished.
I have an agreement with her, Marcel. That's all. You might meet her one day. You might not. It doesn't matter. Just know that she is on our side.
The guilt of having a sniffy attitude gnawed at me. Sorry. I'm a tad sensitive. His hand remained on my thigh. So warm. So close to...
You would be, after everything you've been through.
It was a strange place to be in. I mean, I was Marcel August, but also this man whose soul kept finding itself reborn into a new decade, a new age, making the same mistake, loving this immortal too hard. It can never be too hard. Maybe now is the time to put a stop to it, break this stupid curse against us, fulfilling a destiny to meet again and again, bringing terrible disasters and many deaths. Why? What did it mean? That couldn't be our destiny, to love and destroy at the same time. I went to put that to him, but held back. What was the point? What was the point in any of this? Yes, the ruby did make things different this time, but the danger remained the same. One fuck-up, and so many paid in blood. Destined to always make the world suffer. This had to stop. I can't do this again. Anyway, back to Leon, I said, my voice cracking. He said something about an onyx key. Do you know what that means? Death's jaw tensed, his eyes narrowing.
Do you know what that means? I pressed. No answer. Death. He opened his mouth to speak, his throat bobbing. A choking sound followed. I grabbed his bicep. What's wrong? I can't say it. Say what? Is this about the key?
Yes.
His voice was so hoarse.
I...
He held his breath, his skin flushing red. Death? What's wrong? He gasped, clutching at his chest.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
You physically can't talk about it. I understood. Kind of. The same secrecy thing. He nodded. I have to find Leon, I said.
Yes, he replied.
Easier said than done. Leon and Nick were both missing, probably cloaked by magic. There hadn't been any trail for us to follow for either of them, which you'd expect from a lich. They fed on ghosts, leaving ghostless bodies behind. But Nick probably took more precautions now the cat was out of the bag. Damn. And the wanker was looking for something buried deep and far away. What the hell did that even mean? John, the poltergeist, had told Death that, offering no more detail. I fished out my civilian phone, opened my music app, and played the album No More Shall We Part by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Along with knitting and my breathing exercises, Nick Cave's music got me through, well, life in general. As the intro of the first track, as I sat sadly by her side, played, Death stood up, offering me his hand. What? I questioned.
Come here.
What for?
Dance with me.
I snorted, my cheeks flushing hot. Shit. Sorry. His lips quirked into a sexy grin.
Your snorting is cute.
Against my better judgment, I put my knitting down and took his hand. One dance.
Okay.
His hands moved to my hips as I locked my arms around his neck, our faces so close. We swayed in a slow circle, saying nothing while the music enveloped us in its dark beauty. I pulled him closer into a hug, still moving to the music, our bodies pressed together. He felt so warm, so incredible, so safe. He always did. You're my home, I said, my face buried in the crook of his neck. He stroked my back, breathing me in deep.
I love you, Marcel.
I love you too. But... He released a shuddery breath. I read it as expectance. I released one of my own, summoning my bravery, my heart aching. This isn't fair. No, neither is Mars Death.
We need to stop this once and for all, I said, my voice full of glass.
I hate saying it, but we have to do the right thing this time. Death held me, saying nothing. You go back to your job, I continued. Let the ghosts move on, and I'll...
You'll what, Marcel? He asked softly.
I'll move on too.
God, that burned my throat to say. To another love.
How did I answer that? I don't know. I'm not really thinking about that.
He pulled back, a rueful smile on his face. I won't go back to work until things change.
He traced the pad of his thumb across my cheek.
That's my rule. If we can't be together without all this pain, I won't perform my duties.
And my power will continue to grow until I burst. I didn't voice that. How does it change? I asked.
I don't know if it ever will, but I must make a stand.
God, the sadness in those lovely golden eyes broke my heart. He was fighting for us, for a possible future outside of this loop.
I'll never go back, he added.
But you have to. Why couldn't I say this to him? I guess I'd have to show him by ending this, by being the catalyst for change.
Another love.
Now that I remembered our past, he was my one and only. How could another man ever compare to an immortal like him?
How could anyone touch me the same?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?